Canto 11, Chapter 14. The devotional coherence of the methods and the meditation on Vishnu. Sri Uddhava said, Krishna, the defenders of the Absolute Truth speak of many processes for spiritual advancement. Are they supreme in their combination, or would one of them be the most important? You stated clearly, O Master, that the yoga of devotion, by which the mind becomes fixed on you, practiced free from desires, removes all material attachment. The Supreme Lord said, This message, known as the Vedas, that concerns the Dharma that is founded on me, was lost at the time of the universal annihilation, Pralaya, but was by me at the beginning of a new era spoken to Brahma. Brahma spoke this to his eldest son Manu, and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu in their turn accepted it from Manu. From these forefathers there were the following descendants: the godly and the demoniac souls, the Shiva followers, the human beings, the perfected souls, and the singers of heaven, the scientists and the venerable souls. From different combinations of rajas, tamas and sattva, the gunas, the many different natures generated of the different humanoids, kimdevas, the half-humans, kinaras, the snake-like types, nagas, the wild men, rakshasas, and the ape-like souls, kimpurushas. From all these living entities, who by their propensities are divided in many types and just as many leaders, the diversity of rituals and mantras flowed like rivers from a mountain. Due to this great variety of natures, the philosophies of life are thus divided among the human beings. Some of those philosophies in this constitute traditions of disciplic succession, while others are heretical, bhashanda. The people whose intelligence is bewildered by my illusory power, O best of all persons, express themselves in countless ways about what, according to their karma and taste, would be better. Some people speak in favor of pious activities, while others speak of fame, sense gratification, truthfulness, self-control and peacefulness. Some propound self-interest, political influence, renunciation or consumption, and others defend sacrifice, penance, charity, vows and arrangements of do's and don'ts, yama, niyama. With inevitably a beginning and an end to the meager ends gained with one's karma, there is the prospect of misery as a consequence. Situated in ignorance, one is doomed to a miserable existence full of complaints. Someone who has fixed his consciousness on me, O man of learning, and in every respect is free from material desires, knows the happiness of my spiritual self. How can such a happiness ever be attained by those who are attached to worldly affairs? He who does not desire, who is of peace and controls his senses, whose consciousness is equal whatever the circumstances, and who has a mind that is completely satisfied with me, is filled with happiness wherever he goes. A soul fixed on me wants me and nothing else. He does not desire the position of Brahma, nor the position of Indra. He neither wants an empire on earth, nor a sovereign position in the lower worlds. He does not desire the perfections, the siddhis of yoga, or a second birth. Neither the one born from my body, Brahma, nor Shankara, Shiva, Sankarsana, Balarama, the goddess of fortune, Shri, or even my own self, is as dear to me as you. The sage, the devotee, who without personal desire is of peace, who is not inimical to anyone, and of an equal vision, I always follow closely so that there is purification with the dust of the lotus feet. The great souls, who, not eager for sense gratification, are of a mind that is constantly attached to me, who are of inner peace, who care for all individual souls and whose consciousness is not ruled by lusts, experience my happiness that can only be known in complete independence, in detachment. despite being harassed by sensual desires, a devotee of mine who did not conquer his often strong senses, by dint of his devotion, will not be defeated by them. Just as firewood, because of the blazing flames of a fire, turns into ashes, devotion with me as the object burns the consequences of one's sins completely, O Uddhava. The yoga system, analytical philosophy, pious activities, Vedic study, austerity and renunciation, O Uddhava, do not keep me as satisfied as a well-developed devotional servant to me. One obtains me by single-minded devotion with faith in the Supreme Soul, the object of love of the devotees. Devotional service directed at me will even purify someone who has eaten dogs. Neither dharma accompanied by truthfulness and mercy, nor knowledge linked to austerity, will purify one's consciousness fully when bereft of devotional service unto me. How can, without bhakti, one's hair stand on end, without loving service the heart melt, without devotion the tears flow, the bliss be, and one's heart be purified? The universe is purified by the one whose voice chokes up, whose heart melts, who cries again and again, sometimes laughs, is ashamed, loudly sings and dances in the connectedness of my bhakti. Just like gold being molten in fire gives up impurities and returns to its original state, also the contamination of karma is removed from the spirit soul when one worships me united in my loving service. Even as the power to see restores once the eye is treated with ointment, the spirit soul again sees the one subtle essence once being cleansed by hearing and chanting my pious narrations. Just as the intelligence of someone meditating the objects of the senses is entangled in the sense experience, one's thought becomes dissolved in me when one keeps thinking of me. One's material considerations are therefore like the figments of a dream. Having awakened, being absorbed in me, one forsakes them. The mind is purified when one is completely absorbed in my love. Giving up being associated intimately with women and keeping away from those who chase women, one should, thus free from being physically identified, composed, sit at ease in seclusion and with great care concentrate on me. No other attachment brings a man as much suffering and bondage as the attachment to women and the association with those who are attached to women. Sri Uddhava said, O Lotus-Eyed One, how should one meditate on you when one desires liberation? In what way and on what form? Please, can you speak to me about meditation? The Supreme Lord said, sitting straight and comfortably on a seat at the level of the floor, one should place one's hands in one's lap and focus one's eyes on the tip of one's nose. Then one should clear the path of one's prana, one's vital air, step by step exercising inhaling, retaining and exhaling, and the other way around, while controlling one's senses. With the help of one's life breath, prana, one should, like through the fiber of a lotus stalk, guide the sound aum upwards to the heart, to vibrate it there continuously like a ringing bell so as to reunite the sounds of a recitation. The life breath, thus joined with the pranava, must be practiced 10 times at sunrise, noon and sunset. After 1 month, one will then be in control of one's vital air. With one's eyes half closed, one should, alert and with one's face lifted, concentrate on the lotus within the heart that is directed upwards. Within the whirl of its 8 petals, one should one after the other picture the sun, the moon and the fire. Within the fire, one should consider my harmonious form, so auspicious for meditation, that is gentle, cheerful and endowed with 4 beautiful arms. The neck and the forehead are of a charming beauty, as also the pure smile and the ears with the glowing shark-shaped earrings. One should meditate on the golden dress, the complexion with the color of a rain cloud, the curl on the chest where the goddess resides, the conch and the disc, the club and the lotus, as also on the beauty of the forest flower garland. One should also meditate on all the beautiful and charming parts of my body, the feet with their shining bells, the richly glowing Kaustuba gem, the shining crown and bracelets, the girdle and armlets, the merciful smile and the delicate glance. By turning the mind away from the senses and their sense objects, one thus, with intelligence, should lead the charioteer of one's thinking, the soul, the master of intelligence, sober and grave, with love in the direction of my completeness. One's consciousness, spread over all of this, then must be withdrawn to one point by focusing on the wonderful smile of the face and by no longer regarding other parts. Thus being established, one should withdraw one's consciousness by meditating on the eater. Also, forsaking that, one next must ascend to me and not think of anything else anymore. With one's consciousness thus fully absorbed, the individual soul sees me in the self and all selves in me, the same way the rays of the sun are united in the sun. The deluded state of considering oneself the owner, the knower and the doer will altogether soon find its dissolution in the mind of the yogi who, most concentrated, practices the meditation as mentioned.